Evening is Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. I'll begin the reading in verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." The word of the Lord. While the text I've just read might feel a bit premature in the Advent season and isn't a text we typically read until a few days before Christmas, nevertheless, it's still an Advent text. And since it comes before Christmas, and this is our only Vespers service this month during Advent, it seems fitting to briefly examine Mary's Magnificat. And while that might be reason enough, we can be further compelled by the fact that as Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, intoned her response to Mary in verse 43 and following, likewise, Mary now sings. But guess what? The words of her song aren't 100% hers. The Holy Spirit isn't having her declare something brand new. Rather, Mary's essentially quoting scripture, primarily from the Psalms, verse after verse. You might remember how Jonah's prayer, when he's in the belly of the fish, is for all intents and purposes taken from the Psalms. And we might think that such a moment as this requires something more original, and yet what we encounter instead, what the Holy Spirit deemed to proceed from Mary's mouth, has all been said before. Of course, this points to Jesus as the fulfillment of these respective texts and promises. And surely Mary was likewise filled with the Holy Spirit. But notice that he decides to refurbish used materials after a fashion. This may not be the most interesting exercise, but Mary begins in verse 46. "My soul magnifies the Lord." David declares in Psalm 34:3, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name together." David again in 69:30, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving." Also David in 35:9, "Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation." Then in verse 47, Mary says, "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Well, that echoes Habakkuk's declaration in 3:18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." Verse 48, Mary sings, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." Well, this should send us to Hannah's prayer and vow in 1 Samuel 1, even as all of Mary's song is reminiscent of Hannah's song in 1 Samuel 2. In verse 49, Mary lauds, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." We can go back to Deuteronomy 10:21 for a companion text. "He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen." But even more, David in Psalm 24:8, "Who is this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle?" Or in Psalm 111, holy and awesome is his name. Mary sings in verse 50, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Well, this should take us back to the familiar Psalm by David, 103, where he rejoices, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And we should understand that the word mercy, which Mary uses, is the same as steadfast love, which we also know to be covenant love, loving kindness, Yahweh's hesed, the Lord's hesed, his promised grace. Or as David later declares in verse 17 of that same psalm, Psalm 103, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Psalm 89:10, you crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. 98:1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. In verse 53, we hear Mary chant, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And in Psalm 107, we read, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Or in 146, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. In verse 54, Mary vocalizes, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And so in Psalm 98:3, he has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Or in that moving text from Isaiah 41:8 through 10, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then finally in verse 55, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Well, that takes us back to Genesis 12 and 17 and 22, as well as Micah 7:20. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Mary's also teaching us to pray, even as we have made the point time and time again in the Psalms that David is teaching us to pray. And if we would mature in praise and prayer, then we shouldn't think that we need to be original, clever, overly emotive, and the like. Rather, we need to be saturated in God's Word. And the more we soak in it, especially the Psalms, then that will inform our faith and our lives of prayer and praise, of supplication and petition, of our distresses and anguish, fears and anxieties. All of that, all of our lives, every aspect of our lives can be ordered and shaped in submission to the Scriptures. And that being true, then your scope and breadth of prayer, it expands. Your freedom in prayer expands. Because as you grow in the knowledge of the Lord, as you deepen your understanding of his character, of his promises, then in your praise, in your prayers, you are compelled to go further up and further in.